Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Listen now to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This ends the reading of God's Word, and God always blesses His Word to those who listen. Who here knows what the golden rule is? Just shout it out. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's often known as the golden rule. And we want to think today about the golden rule. In fact, I want to think about four golden rules. And I'm not going to change that one from being the golden rule. So when somebody talks about the golden rule, that's it. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And if the whole world lived by that rule of Jesus, we would basically have heaven on earth. If everybody treated others the way we ourselves want to be treated, it would be nearly perfect, if not perfect, just following that one simple rule of Jesus. In fact, Jesus said in another place when He gave this rule, this fulfills the law and the prophets. If you're doing this, you're basically doing what God wants. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So I want to focus on that golden rule, do to others as you would have them do to you, and then on three other rules that are found in the Scriptures as well. Do to others as you would have them do to you, do to others as Jesus has done to you, do to others as Jesus would do to them, and do to others as you would do to Jesus. If those four rules were deeply absorbed and lived, then we would truly be the light of the world. We would truly be the presence of Christ in this world. And so let's think about those a bit more. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's not so easy, is it? And partly because we tend to be self-centered. In fact, we are self-centered. Maybe that's even why Jesus phrased it that way. Think about how you would want to be treated and then extend that to other people. Or as Jesus also put it, quoting the Old Testament, love your neighbor as yourself. If you can somehow manage to love other people as much as you love yourself, you are going to be loving them hugely, because most of us tend to have a great affection for ourselves. We care about ourselves very much. We understand, or at least we think we understand ourselves. We usually don't nearly as well as we think, but we know what bothers us. We know what we want. And the difficulty is in understanding what bothers other people, or in what they want, or what would help or bless them. And often we're so wrapped up in our own little world that we just can't do to others, because we're not paying enough attention to others. But this is a basic rule that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. If you're a husband and you're sitting there watching TV with your clicker and your wife is cleaning up everything after a long, hard day, what would your wife want? She would want you to continue clicking and watching TV, letting her do all the work. Well, maybe not. If you're a child, what would your parents want you to do? Would they want you to get in your face and not obey and not do anything they wanted? Well, if you were a parent, what would you want your kids to be like? You say, well, I don't want to have to think about that. Well, that's part of doing to others as you'd have them do to you, is putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. If you're a parent, try really hard to think back to what it was like being a kid and what you sometimes wished for. And I'm not just talking about, you know, ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and supper, or some of that. I mean, that's one of the things you can't use this rule for, is to just say, well, give everybody whatever they want, because a lot of people want a lot of stuff that's really not very good for them. And sometimes what they want is not consistent with what your calling is. For instance, if you're a policeman and you say, well, I am going to live by the golden rule, so I am only going to issue warnings. I am going to catch them speeding if they're 40 miles over the speed limit. Well, if I was driving 40 miles over the speed limit, I'd want a warning, not a ticket. So that's what I'll do. Well, yeah, but the people who appointed you to be a policeman in the first place, you got to do for them. They appointed you to do a certain kind of job. If you're a policeman and you say, well, crooks would really like to get away with being crooked, I think I will let them get away with every crime. Well, there, the golden rule would be badly misused, because your job and calling as a policeman is to restrain crime and to keep criminals from doing that. And though they might want to get away with murder, other people don't really want murderers to get away with murder. And so part of the balance of your calling and being a blessing to others is doing what those who called you to be a policeman in the first place want you to do. If you're a businessman and you take a certain approach to marketing, where you hide all the flaws of your product and you hype all that might be good about it, is that the way you would want to be treated if you were actually a customer? If you're a worker, if you were the boss, how would you want your workers to work? Would you want them to maybe put in, you know, 2 hours and 15 minutes out of an 8-hour day actually working and spend the rest on Facebook and texting? You know, is that the kind of employee that your boss would just be dying to have? Well, then be the kind of worker that a boss would want, and the other way around. If you happen to be a boss, if you were an employee, how would you want to be treated? Well, then treat your employees that way. You could go through all the different kinds of positions and relationships in life, and if each of us could learn to put ourselves in other people's shoes and then treat them the way we'd want to be treated, it would have a hugely transforming effect on the world, because it would be fulfilling God's intent for us, that we would be treating each other the way we wanted to be treated. Jesus gave a famous story about that, of course. Somebody was having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus says, well, how do you read the law? What do you think are the biggest commandments? And he says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And Jesus says, hey, great answer. Do that, and you're in good shape. And he said, but who is my neighbor? Because, you know, right away we want to narrow that down and say some people, they don't deserve to be loved, and we don't have to treat them the way we would want to be treated ourselves. So Jesus says, well, there was a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and along the road some thieves got him and robbed him and beat him up and left him for dead. And while he was lying there along the road, a priest came along, and he passed by on the other side. And then along came a Levite, a temple assistant, and he passed by on the other side, just leaving the man to lie there. And then along came a Samaritan, and Samaritans were people that Jews just detested and despised and wanted nothing to do with. But the Samaritan went and dressed the man's wounds and brought him to an inn and paid the innkeeper a couple more days covering for the man to recuperate. And then Jesus says to this expert, now, who was a neighbor to that man? And he couldn't bear to say the Samaritan because that would be a filthy word to come out of his mouth. So he says, well, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, well, then go and do likewise. So it's hard. You know, if you're an expert on God's law and you're a big shot and you know that God says, love God above all and your neighbors yourself, you're still looking for ways out and exit strategies so that you don't have to do to others as you would have them do to you. If you're a person beat up, lying on the side of the road, what do you want? You want help. You don't want somebody saying, I would like to have a theological discussion about who is my neighbor. Well, do to others as you would have them do to you. It summarizes the whole law. Really, you can memorize the Ten Commandments because we need specifics, but do not murder. Would you really want somebody to kill you? Well, then don't kill anybody else. Don't steal. Do you like getting ripped off? Well, then don't rip off anybody else. Don't give false testimony. Do you like getting lied to? Well, then don't lie. Don't cheat on your wife. Do you like having a spouse run out on you? Well, then don't do it to somebody else. Do you want the vultures hovering around wishing they could get what you've got? Or do you like, if you're a girl, do you like men kind of drooling over you and undressing you with their eyes? Well, if you don't like that, then don't covet. Because that's what coveting is desiring what isn't yours. And so you can go through God's law, the second half, the second table of the law about how to relate to others, and it's all summarized by do to others as you would have them do to you. And that is the glory of it, and that is just the problem. It is a law. It summarizes the law. And the better you know the law, the more you are condemned. Because, as I said, if we lived by the golden rule, it'd already be heaven on earth. And it's not. Because we don't live by the law, we break it. We can't put ourselves in other shoes very effectively apart from the help of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're too self-centered. We know what we want. We know our reasons for not doing things for others. And they sound like very good reasons to us. And so we blow it. And if the golden rule, this golden rule, were the only rule we had, it would show us the way to heaven on earth, and we would end up with hell. Because it is the summary of the law, and the law condemns those who don't live up to it. And so we desperately need something besides being told what we should be like and how we should behave. We do need that, but we need more than that. And so the second golden rule is very, very important. Do to others as Jesus has done to you. We need to think about not just what our obligation is and putting ourselves in other people's shoes, but then knowing that, we need to say, well, yeah, but we can't do that, but what has Jesus done for us? Jesus did for us what we needed when we couldn't save ourselves. He came bringing the gospel and not just the law. And Jesus loved us. Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Jesus gave himself freely to us. And this is our second golden rule. Do to others as Jesus has done to you. Because until you know what Christ has done to you and for you, you're really not free to serve others. What is the basis for love? This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us. And so you get this kind of command over and over again in the Bible. You'd say, well, where'd you get that second golden rule? I didn't read anywhere in the Bible, do to others as Jesus has done to you. Actually, you read it all over the New Testament, just not in quite that form. We love because he first loved us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's just saying, do to others as Jesus has done to you in the realm of marriage. So our love springs from his love. And We need to face this fact about ourselves. If we find it nearly impossible to love others and to do to others as we would have them do to us, here's the problem. You don't really know what Jesus has done for you, and you don't really believe who you are now. Do you know how much you are loved? Do you know that you are treasured by God? Do you know that you are heirs of everything God has and that He gives you all things? The greatest barrier to loving others is that we don't know how much we're loved. We do not believe that down to the depths of our toes how much we are loved. If you know that God loves you with an everlasting love, and that your Father just treasures you. Do you really believe that? Do you really know that? Because that's the key to loving others. I could preach 100 sermons on the importance of loving others, but until you know that you are loved and treasured and beautiful in His eyes, and that you are the light of the world in Him, and that you are a kingdom and priests, that you are saints, that you know that that's who you are in Him, you really can't do much else. But when you have a vast overflow of what God has given to you, then it's a lot easier to do to others as Jesus has done to you. I'll take a very trivial and not a very flattering example for myself. Lately, I give bigger tips than I used to. In tipping, at a restaurant was a real cheapskate. Now I figure, you know, those people are working pretty hard and they're not getting paid much. I maybe ought to throw a couple more dollars on the tip. Now, why do I do that? Not really so much that I'm so much more generous. I'm richer than I used to be. You know, when you're a college student and you don't have anything, and sometimes I could have afforded to do it more, but was still just a cheapskate out of habit. But the question is, if you think you're really, really poor, then you feel you have no choice but to treat others poorly. If you know the wealth that you have in Christ, then you say, well, I can afford to do that, and He's still going to look out for me. But if you think that being kind to somebody else is going to cast you into deep poverty, well, then you're going to be a cheapskate like me. Love. To love as you've been loved, to accept one another as Christ accepted you. Romans 15, verse 7. Again, that's just another application of the principle, do to others as Jesus has done to you. He accepts people with many, many faults and flaws and failings. You do not have to be perfect before He accepts you. After He accepts you, He'll keep working on you, and eventually you will be perfect, but that's not the basis of it. Now, if that's true of the way He treats you, then how are you going to treat others? Accept others as Christ accepted you. Another application of the principle from the passage we read. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You've been shown mercy, so do to others as the Lord has done for you. All this stuff about forgiving people, you say, oh man, that's hard. Oh, that's hard. No, it's not. It's impossible. Or it's easy. But it's not hard. It's either impossible and you can't do it, or you are so flooded with God's forgiveness that you say, well, He sure forgave me a ton of things, and so I guess forgiveness is the kingdom I want to live in. And so you live in that kingdom of forgiveness. So these things of being merciful or of forgiving, in one sense, they're either impossible or they're natural because of what Christ has done. The same in giving. Same reasoning is used by the Apostle Paul even when he's just fundraising. He's trying to gather some money from the people in Corinth to help out some needy people in Jerusalem. So he says, basically, do to others as Jesus has done to you. See that you excel in this grace of giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. So there you see it again. Do to others as Jesus has done to you. What the great principle of Scripture that you really can't do much, if anything, for others until you know what Christ has done for you and who you are in Him, so you don't feel poor anymore and feel, oh, if I tip this waitress an extra 50 cents, I might be cast into poverty forever. If I were to forgive somebody else something really bad, that would just crush my dignity. If your dignity depends on the grudges you hold, you're in a world of hurt. If your dignity depends on Christ has accepted you, made you the light of the world, made you to be a kingdom and priest, calls you a saint, calls you beloved, if that is the source of your dignity, well then, if somebody mistreats you, too bad. You take it because that's not where your dignity comes from in the first place. And again, you can't love really until you know how much you're loved. You can't handle what other people do to you until it doesn't matter so much what other people do to you because you already know what Christ has done to you and for you. So do to others as Jesus has done to you is really the gospel golden rule of taking what Christ has done to you and receiving and inheriting His riches, in that out of the overflow of those riches, well, a tip here and there, a forgiveness here and there, that just comes naturally because that's the realm you live in. A third golden rule, do to others as Jesus would do to them. And that's often been summarized in recent decades as WWJD, what would Jesus do? Do to others as Jesus would do to them. And sometimes that's been overdone. You know, it gets turned into jewelry and trinkets and wall hangings and lots of money for Christian bookstores. But it's still a biblical rule. Do to others as Jesus would do to them. Part of it is simply the imitation of Christ, following His example. Jesus has given us an example. What did He say to His first disciples? Follow me. And that didn't just mean trudge along the road behind me, though that's a big part of it. But it's following Him wherever He leads, modeling your life after His. Jesus said in John 13, verse 15, right after He had served them and washed their feet, He said, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So there again, to follow His example and do as He's done for us. And the Bible expresses that in a variety of ways. You're the body of Christ. So that basically means that if you are members of Christ's body, then there is a sense in which Jesus is doing His thing through you, and your actions, if they're done in the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Word of God, are actions done by Jesus Christ. And so you're not just doing what Jesus would do, you're actually acting on Jesus' behalf. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, though He was God, gave it all up, all of His power and majesty, and died that He might save us. That's the message of Philippians 2. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Do to others as Jesus would do to them. And then the verse on which WWJD and the book on which it was based came from. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. The book by Charles Sheldon was titled In His Steps, and the question that was asked throughout that fictional book was, what would Jesus do? That's where WWJD came from. In His steps, and it comes from this verse. Jesus gave us an example to follow in His steps. And you'll notice that the example Peter talks about is suffering. He suffered for us. And the call that Jesus gives us in Luke 6, a lot of that call is, now you're going to suffer. People are going to do bad stuff to you. And part of following me is absorbing some of the garbage that evil people do to Christ. And so do to others as Jesus would do to them. Do acts of kindness for them, as well as sometimes put up with the things they do without demanding in return because you're following in the steps and in the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? Again, like every other rule, has to be understood properly. Do to others as you would have them do to you did not mean that if you're a policeman, you let every speeder off the hook. Do as Jesus would do also has its limits. Obvious ones. You go to a wedding and they start running out of supplies. What would Jesus do? Well, He'd turn water into wine and a few other nice things like that and replenish everything. If Jesus goes to a funeral, what would Jesus do? Well, he said to the one in the coffin, get up. And up he goes. When you go to a funeral, weep with those who weep. What would Jesus do? It isn't quite going to be the sufficient guideline for every action you go. You know, you miss the boat. What would Jesus do? Well, he'd walk on the water across the lake. You might want to catch a different boat. So, again, what would Jesus do is partly conditioned by the fact that he's the Son of God and you're not. And so there are some things that he could do during his life on earth that you're not going to be able to do. Also, what would Jesus do when he sinned? Oops, bad question. He didn't. And there are going to be a lot of times when we're going to need to repent, when we're going to need to say, I'm sorry. So we're going to have to do some things that Jesus never did and not do certain other things that Jesus did with great ease because of his miracle-working power as the Son of God. But nonetheless, it's still a great guideline to keep in mind. Do to others as Jesus would do to them. It's a very helpful and healthy guideline. He's our example. He's our pioneer. He's the one who goes ahead of us and shows the way in how to treat others and how to deal with evildoers. And then a fourth golden rule, do to others as you would do to Jesus, because he does take it personally. Do to others as you would do to Jesus. The Roman poet Ovid tells a legend that was probably around at his time, and he's just the one whose account of it we have. But anyway, he tells the legend of a lady named Baucis and her husband Philemon. And Baucis and Philemon are a real elderly couple in a town that is not very kind. And the gods Zeus and Hermes disguise themselves as peasants and come to this town, and they ask for shelter and food. And all the fat cats and all the wealthy people and everybody else in the town just rejects them and leaves those two gods out there in the street because they look like peasants. But Baucis and Philemon, this old couple, welcomes them in, and they take from kind of their meager supplies and give them some bread and some of the wine they have, and give Zeus and Hermes a meal and invite them to stay for the night. But as Baucis pours the wine from her little jug for about the fourth time, she notices that there is as much wine in it as there ever was. And she says, uh-oh, these are gods. And so she and her husband fall on the floor before them, and they say, oh, we're so sorry that we didn't serve you our very, very best. Here, let's get this goose, and we'll slaughter the goose and feed him to you. But the goose jumps in Zeus's lap, and Zeus says, you don't got to kill the goose, but I've got some words for you. You need to get out of this town, and you need to get out now, because I am going to destroy this town because they didn't welcome us. So they take Baucis and Philemon out of town, and then Zeus and Hermes send a flood down that destroys the town. And then out of the old couple's house, hut, they make a beautiful temple. And then Baucis and Philemon receive their wish that when one dies, the other dies at the exact same moment. And they become two trees that are intertwined right there at the front of that temple. Now that's an old pagan story, a beautiful pagan story. And it has a lot in common with some Bible stories. Do you remember the story of Abraham? Three men came to Abraham one day, and Abraham is very hospitable and welcomes them and makes a big meal for them, and somewhere during the course of the meal discovers that one of them is God come to him in human form, and the other two are angels. A little later that day, those angels head out, and they go to the city of Sodom. And do you know the story of how Sodom welcomes those two men as guests? They want to rape the two men, and only Lot welcomes them into his house. And the next day, Lot and his daughters and wife are whisked out of Sodom by those two angels, and they send down fire and brimstone and destroy that whole town. In the missionary accounts of Paul and Barnabas, there's a story which probably has echoes of Baucis and Philemon. They probably knew the story of Baucis and Philemon, because remember the story where Paul and Barnabas go to Lystra. And in that town of Lystra, God uses them to perform a miracle, and a crippled man is healed. And the moment that happens, the city of Lystra starts offering to sacrifice to them, and the priest of Zeus comes out and wants to worship them. And so Paul and Barnabas, of course, say, no, we're not gods. Don't worship us. So you have this sense that sometimes the gods would come down, and you might be mistreating a god if you mistreated somebody who came not seeming like very much. You get echoes of that Sodom story and of Abraham's reception of the angels in Hebrews 13, I believe it's verse 3, when it says, show hospitality to strangers because people have welcomed angels without knowing it. Now, if all of that is true, that if even the old pagan legends said if a couple of gods showed up, you better be careful, they might be coming in the form of a peasant. Or if angels could come to you in disguise as ordinary humans, and you better welcome them, then what about welcoming the Lord himself? Do to others as you would do to Jesus. And here again, that's not a statement in the Bible. It's something that's stated in a whole bunch of different ways in the Bible. Whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. So, how are you going to treat babies? Are you going to massacre them by the millions? Whoever does that to babies does that to Christ. Are you going to love them and cherish them and bring them up in the ways of the Lord? If you do that, then Jesus is being welcomed. So, do to others as you would do to Jesus. Jesus says that at the end of the world, he will say to people, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. If someone was hungry and you fed them, you were feeding me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I had no clothes and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you helped me and visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And others will have done the opposite and neglected him. But he says, whatever you did or didn't do, you were doing it for me. When the Apostle Paul was still Saul the murderer and traveling down the road, what was the first thing Jesus said to him? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He didn't say, why are you being mean to my followers? He said, why do you persecute me? Because he took very personally what was being done to those who followed him. And that's just a principle already revealed in the Old Testament, but made even clearer by our Lord Jesus. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. He who is kind to the poor lends to whom? To the Lord. And he will reward him for what he has done. What do you do for the person who has everything? In one sense, you really can't be kind to God. You can't help him. He doesn't need you. Okay? He's got it all. The only way that we can show kindness to God is to show kindness to those who are made in his image, to those with whom he identifies himself. So do to others as you would do to Jesus. Now, let's look at those four rules just one last time and see how it relates to this overarching reality that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Because these just aren't rules to be taken as rules. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The reasoning of that is Christ is over you. Christ is your commander. He is your judge. And he says, you treat others the way you would want to be treated. And you're going to be judged on that basis. He says that with the measure you use, it's going to be measured to you. If you're not merciful, don't expect mercy. If you're not forgiving, don't expect forgiveness. If you're not kind to those in need, don't expect a bunch of kindness. He's over you. And he commands this. But he's not just over us. Do to others as Jesus has done to you, because Christ is for you. And so Christ has given himself. He's loved you with an everlasting love. He's poured out his life's blood on the cross. He has accepted you with all of your faults. And so Christ is for you. And the reason you do to others as Christ has done for you is because you know that Christ is for you. The reason you do to others as Jesus would do to them is because Christ is in you. And Christ is acting through you. You are in Christ and he's in you. And so because he's living in you, the love that you show to others and the kindness you show to others is really Jesus acting through you. Christ is in you, and that's the basis of that golden rule. And the basis of the final golden rule is Christ is in others, or potentially in them. Even the lost still bear something of the image of God, And even the lost may well be redeemed before it's all over. So even those who are without Christ should be treated well. And those who are in Christ, well then, Christ is in them. And so you do to others as you would do to Jesus because he is in them. And he takes personally the way you treat his brothers and sisters. These are the glorious rules of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do to others as you would have them do to you because Christ is over you. Do to others as Christ has done to you because Christ is for you. Do to others as Jesus would do to them because Christ is in you. And do to others as you would do to Jesus because Christ is in them. May God every day give us more grace not to take these things just as duties, but as a joy to be the advance legions of the kingdom of God in this world and people in whom Christ lives and from whom Christ shines. Dear Father, we pray that you will stamp these rules on our hearts and minds in the many applications that are found in your holy word and the further applications that your Spirit gives in the way we live our lives right now. We pray, Father, that you will help us above all to know what it is to be citizens of the kingdom of God, to be in Christ and have Christ in us. Lord, some of us, our biggest struggle is simply we don't know you and we don't know who we are in you. And so we pray that you will open the eyes of our heart to know the riches of our calling and to know you better and better and to realize who you are and what a glory it is to belong to you. And then, Lord, may that reality be reflected in the way we live, that people around us may taste something of the wonder of the kingdom of God and the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ as we live by these four golden rules. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.